The cross equals love. It's all about his love and lots of his love. These religious people in the Bible, what you would call today, I guess, pastors, it's real because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the religious scholars. But they would try to trick Jesus and say, okay, now there's 10 commandments. Don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. Which one's the best one? Which one do you think is the greatest? And Jesus wraps all of it up and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And the next one is equal to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. He wraps it up. What is this all about? It's about love. What he did on the cross, it was about love. All about love. It's crazy that we have a generation now that is gapped. Growing up in church, let's just see, and it's okay, like, I don't mind if you interact with me. I'm like, hey, man, oh, that's good. Preach it. White boy, whatever. Whatever you guys say. get it, whatever. How many in here, when you were a kid, went to Sunday school? Had Sunday school in your life? Awesome. I'll tell you what, Sunday school was the place where they go deep into the Word and teach these kids the truth and the biblical knowledge of who God is. There's a generational gap here, and it's hard, and maybe even not just with teenagers, but even some adults that don't know what the Scripture says. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When I grew up in church, I would say, how many in here know John 3:16? Bunch of kids, raise your hand. I know John 3:16. Today, you say that in the youth, maybe two people. You say that with adults, maybe a couple people. I love what it says, that he gave, and then they won't perish, but they'll have eternal life. But here's the cool part about that scripture, the next verse. For God did not send the Son into this world to condemn the world, but he sent him through to save the world. He sent his Son to save it. God is never in the business of condemning you for what you do. He just wants to save you. That's why I have that big struggle at ISU when that dude gets up there with that staff and that big sign that says you're going to hell and you're a whore and a hoe and a... I mean, that might just, like, scared you that I said it in church, but why does all the kids get to hear it from a pastor on a stage? And it's wrong. He never came to condemn. He only came to save. It's wrong. It's wrong. I'll stand there again and tell him it's wrong. Sometimes you might have to be bold enough to stand against mean Christians and protect the lost. But that's okay. You'll find me on the corner while you're in church. That's the point. The message of the gospel's for everyone. There's valuable people in this world. And the crazy thing is you've got to realize that you're valuable. That God wants to use you. God so loved them. What's this all about? It's about his love. It's about that he died on a cross. We all know the Easter message. We know what happened. We hear about it. It's on the news. Both sides of the story. Everybody talks about it. I think that it's time for us to sometimes quit wearing the cross and start carrying it. And realize that, number one, I can't stand sometimes with the way they put Jesus on the cross. He's all withered and looks like Fabio. Is it the truth, though? Let me go bust out one of those old big Bibles in the back that's left from the other church. I'll show you. He's all like that. My King of Kings says he was a carpenter. He was strong. He was fit. And He took the sins of the world on the cross. Do you realize he shouldn't even have made it to the cross? He should have died at the post. The beating he took, he should have died at the post. Unreal. Unreal. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that means? You can live life to the fullest. And also, that means you can have eternal life. So when you're gone, you're just not gone. You get to spend time with God in heaven. Yes. Amen? Some people are like, well, I don't know. Maybe that might work. It will work. Live for him. He died for you. Why not live for him? It works. He's good. Oh, man. He's so good. This Bible is jacked up in a good way. Let me read this to you because this is crazy. Isaiah 53 says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from the men who hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by men, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment brought us peace. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The crazy thing about this with Isaiah, I just got to go here before we get into this, is basically what I just said is a fancy biblical way of saying he brings dead things to life. It says, by his stripes we're healed. His stripes that he took. And it says we're healed because of it. The craziest thing is that Isaiah wrote this 8 centuries before Jesus Christ ever hung on the cross. This was talked about. I'm reading what he wrote before Jesus ever came on the scene. To a T, prophesied what Jesus would go through. He took what we deserved, and he took it on the cross. That is hope. Is there anything in life? Wow. Maybe you have something in your life right now that needs resurrected. What is it that needs resurrected in your life right now? And maybe you look at it and you're like, it's over. There's nothing you can do for me. You're absolutely right. There's nothing I can do for you. Everything he can do, though. He can resurrect that life. You have to put your trust in God. You have to put it all in him. He is the only one that can do it. It's crazy because there's stuff in our lives that needs resurrected. Is there anything? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's your children that needs to come to life and get right. Maybe it's you. It's funny because Jesus, before he dies, he's on his way to this man named Lazarus who actually did die. And here's the crazy part. Jesus isn't afraid of death. He stared it right in its face when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he's on his way, and Lazarus' sister is all tore up. And she runs out to him. And she says, I know he's going to live in the future. Basically, she's saying, Jesus, number one, you're late. You could have been here and saved him. You could have helped him. You could have set him free. And maybe here today you're thinking, what are you talking about, set free, save? Let me tell you something. Signs and wonders and miracles still happen today. He still wants to save. He still wants to heal. He still wants to bring things to life. He still wants to do great things. And so Jesus says, What are you talking about, basically? She says, I know he's going to be with us in the resurrection in the end when we're all the saints gather. I know my brother's going to be with us. And Jesus makes this bold statement. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Hits him right between the eyes. He hadn't even died yet. He hadn't even hung on a cross. He says, I am the resurrection. You've ran into the resurrection. So Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes up out of that tomb. But then Jesus dies on the cross. And he's hung there. And they hear these stories as he hangs there. Everything hanging in the balance. Has that ever happened to you in your life? Where things just hang in the balance. You don't know which way to go, what to do with this situation and what to do with that. You put on the fake smile in front of everybody, but you're miserable all alone. Jesus, he's the only one that could take that away. His peace covers all of that. His grace covers all of your mess. Oh, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter. It don't matter what you've done. From this point on, your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. It's a done deal. It doesn't matter. I'd rather live a peaceful life with Christ than not. Than try to struggle and see if anybody accepts me and is okay with me and wants to acknowledge me. Did I get enough likes and enough hits on my social media? I wonder if they like me. Oh, maybe I should like myself on that post because it was good. Maybe they will catch on to that. We're so infatuated by what other people think. Sometimes you just have to take the phone, wherever mine is, right here. Hey, how you doing? Wait, hold up. Let me see what's on Facebook. Oh, face crack. And we can't wait to hurry up and view. Oh, did they like this? Oh, I got 6 notifications. Wow. Oh, did anybody check into the church? I wondered because we're here and it'll help spread the news about the local church that's way out here up north. It would be helpful. Thanks. I can't live by this. I can't. My acceptance, my foundation's only found in Jesus Christ. He is the only thing I go to. Yes, this is all good. It's a good tool and all. But in the end of the day, this isn't my salvation. This isn't going to resurrect me. It's just a tool. I thought about this on the way to church. I wonder how it was when we actually didn't have cell phones and we went on a trip and used this big old piece of paper called the map. And the kids are in the back because there's no seat belts and everybody's got coloring books instead of tablets. Eat the food, Tina! But we're like, okay, we got to get the kids ready. Put the phone in the right position. The tablet. Okay. The movie's playing. All right. Let's go to the store. Go to the store, kids. Knock it off. I know when I was little, I don't know how my mom's arm had a weird reach, but it came all the way back behind, and it hit my teeth sometimes. Smarting off like she driving. There ain't no way. I'm calling CPS. Call CPS. You got kids today threatening parents all day long. Sometimes you got to spare the rod. I'm just saying. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes you got to whoop a butt or two and put them back in order and say, listen, I'm the boss. This is my house. But for as me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. You going to church. Well, I don't know. I don't want to offend them. Do you want to go? How old are you? 5? You're going. And guess what? If you're 30 and still living in my house, you're still going. You're in my house. We got to get it back in order, guys. I'm just telling you. Sometimes we walk on eggshells around everything. Let your yes be your yes, your no be your no, and be done with it. You'll have more freedom. Kids, students that are in this room, you have a lot of freedom if you just obey what they say the first time. Parents, please do me a favor. Quit counting. You're just getting them to practice disobedience. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm coming. 6. Try that practicing counting while they're running in the road. Well, I got till 4. How about one, here I come with the belt, you're getting whooped. And guess what? When you, and some people are like, I don't whoop, I just redirect. Okay. So you just beat your sister in the head with a block. Bam! Here, son, play with this. It's softer. No. No. How about wop, wop? Time out. You ain't moving. Let's get a Band-Aid. Oh, you got up. Do you realize discipline's more for you than it is the child? Oh, you're getting up again. You have to continue to follow through. If not, they will push your limits, and then they will get away with anything they want.
That's exactly right.
I don't know why I'm saying that, but it's just a little nugget for parents. It's all good. It's all good. So, Jesus, whoo, he took what we deserved, and he wants things to be a life in your life, and he is the resurrection. Matthew, I got to read this before we transition out of this. The kids are having a blast in the back. Don't worry if a number comes up. Run. No plan. There's numbers and stuff if they need it. We have walkie-talkies that connect with the parents and stuff, or with the leaders, so we can figure out what's going on. We got lots of leaders back there helping. Those kids are having a blast. And they're hearing about Jesus Christ, too, in the same hand. It's amazing what's happening. Matthew 27. Woo! 51. Where are you at? This is crazy. What he does here. He talks about how when he died, at the moment he said it was finished, and Jesus bows his head and dies. And they make a point about this moment right here. It says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rock split. The curtain was torn from head to toe in two. And you're probably wondering, okay, this is Easter, but why are we talking about this real quick? It makes a vital point about something that's so crazy. Jesus dies on the cross. They're spitting on him. They're selling his clothes. They're doing all this stuff. And then he says it's finished. And he bows his head and dies. His weight gives out. And the earth shook. And it says that the curtain was torn. The reality of that curtain being torn, because that curtain was the only access for people to go pray to God. And only the high priest was allowed to go. So, say I'm the high priest. I don't look priestly at all, but say I'm the high priest. The curtain was here. I would have to come around and you would come up and be like, I need to make a sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. I need to speak to God. Okay, you can speak to me. I'll be your, you know, on behalf of God, I will speak to you, and then I'm going to go talk to God about it. And then the next person, this is what the Bible says, that people would come up and like, well, I need to make a confession, blah, blah, blah. And so, okay, well, I'm going to speak, you know, I'm going to speak to God on your behalf, you know, go and sin no more, and I'll go behind the curtain where nobody's allowed. Okay, God, you know, I'm going to speak to you, blah, 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 and talk about it. This is what was going on. When Jesus died on the cross, he tore the curtain. And here's why. Let me read what it says, just so you can hear. Access was restricted to all except the high priest, and the only under certain conditions at that time were you allowed to be to the priest and to have access to him. Jesus filled the role as the ultimate priest with full access to God the Father. Through his death, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice of our sins, tore back the curtain into the most holy place, and opened it permanently for access to God for all who surrender their lives to him. So basically what he did is he tore the curtain, and when he tore the curtain, he said, you, whosoever, is allowed to come. I don't need to go to somebody to give my sins, and so he can transfer it to God. You have full access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to get to God. That's so good. That cut it all out. I don't need a middleman anymore. I have full access to him now. Yeah.
And here's the cool part. You ain't got to have it just at church. You could be driving, be in the shower, you could be at work. Wherever you are, you have full access, permanent access to the King of Kings. That's what his word says. That's what he says. So I don't have to go to somebody else and confess my sins. I only confess them to Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's what the word says. I can't shake from the word. Now some others do. They want to pick and choose what they want to pick and choose. But if he tore the curtain, that means I can go. He tore it. You have full access. But the problem with the access is what happens is as a Christian sometimes we want to judge who gets to come in that access. Oh, well, look at them. What are they doing here? Oh, did you hear so-and-so, blah, blah, blah? Did you hear, blah, blah, blah? Oh, did you see them? You know, they were just blah, blah, blah. You want to judge their issues. When his grace covers everything. The reality is, stop judging people because they sin different than you sin. That's the reality. Quit judging them just because they sin different than you. Full access means full access. All the way through. All the way in. All the way in. I'm going to give away a couple things. I've got to do this because we got to get going. And it's amazing. Awesome. I'm like, where's my ticket? I was worshiping and it flew away. 125206. I'm going to give this this deal right here, this beach crock pot looking thing, one, roasting thing. 1252, what'd I say? 206. Who is that? Raise your hand. Awesome. It's going to be over there. Thank you. Awesome. You know why only three people clapped? Because they wanted it. Sorry. Everybody's like. this red one, 125198, 125198, there you go. Hey, make sure you make me something with that, okay? Bring it to church. Awesome. Let's do another one. Yeah, that big boy. 125150, 125150. Oh, Pastor Day, you got a new comforter. That's right. You got that. It's, you know what I love about this? These gifts, just giving them away. This is our heart for the city, for anybody. We just love giving stuff away. God's blessed us so much. And when you give, like we talked about, when you give, like in the offering and stuff, that stuff goes to helping and doing that. 125126. This one, Queen. 125126. Hey, there you go. Got a new bed deal. If you don't want it, give it to somebody else. It's awesome what God does because our heart is to give, and our heart is to give away and do things. And here's what's crazy is, like, we purchased some things. We did purchase some of this stuff, not a lot of that, but some other things. And when you give, when we pass the bucket around and stuff like that, all that money goes to keeping the building lit. And giving it back away to the community to help them with their backpack programs, anything we do in the community, the Easter egg hunt. We just love serving people. We're about people, and we love serving them. I'm going to go with the chair. I might need to use the chair. My legs. 125056. 125056. Hey, what's up, girl? There you go. Three people clap. That's amazing. they're just so mad at you. I wanted the chair. It's a nice day out. Anybody going to eat steaks after church? No? Okay, cool. We're going to go out to eat. 125098 tickets, man. Who is that? Hey. So if it's not the right size, I don't know. Maybe you can, like, wheel and deal with whoever's got the other size you want. All right, I'm going to give away the Coca-Cola. They call this Mexican Coke because it's literally made in Mexico with cane sugar. And it is probably the best Coke bottle you will probably ever have in life. I promise. I thought Mickey D's had the Coke that was on crack. And this bottle is full of it. Awesome. 125201. The ticket on there. Who is it? 125201. Somebody in this room? One more time. 125201. I'll pull something else. If it's in the back, I'll do. Oh, my tickets are here. Awesome. All right, here we go. 125149. Where? Is it you? You were looking around like you didn't know where it was going. Good job, Mom. Okay, let's do this one. Oh, more. Cool. 125134. This one is, yeah, nice. Hey, there you go, Alex. Alex with the main mix, getting his bed. Awesome. Mix it up. Okay, let's go this way. Pull one of those. I got a couple of these. I know, kids. I know. I'm hurrying. It's all good. You know what I love? I love the house full of babies and kids. They are not a distraction. They're a gift of God. I love them being in here. It's amazing. Next time, bring them to the back. No, I'm playing. I'm joking. It's all good if they yell and stuff. One of them's probably my niece. 125205. 125205. All the way in the back. Okay, keep your hand up. This is going to you. Go ahead and take it to her. Baskin Robbins, hit it up on your way out. The church. Well, you have to go south, I guess. Let me do another Baskin Robbins. Yeah. 125086. 125086. Baskin Robbins. Here we come. All right. I got a few more of these. I just need to give them away real quick before we get going. 125185. 125185. All the way in the back. Okay, awesome. 125064. 125064. Right there. There you go. Awesome. She's got a chair. You got Baskin Robbins. You can switch if you want. 125171. 125171. Right there. Thanks for being here. Enjoy that. Two people clapped. That was amazing. 125203. 125203. 125203. Anybody? 203. No? Yeah? No? Yeah? You? No? Yeah? What? No? Okay. We go with a different one. 125169. 125169. Right there. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. I got a few more things, right? Yeah. Cool. These things right here. 125062. Seat cushions. 125062. Right there. Awesome. Awesome. Those will be yours over there. Another one of these comforters. It's amazing what they do. I'm mixing them all up. It ain't like it's rigged or something. 125084. 125084. Where? Awesome. Listen, this is yours, this big comforter. Afterwards, they'll help you out getting it to you. This one is actually a full one. Maybe it's yours. I don't know. You're already thinking in your head, do I have a full-size bed somewhere? 125149. 125149. Anybody? 125149. Going once. Didn't you just take that, didn't you? Yeah. 125149. I just pulled this up. Oh. Okay. That's weird. Listen, we're not professionals here. We're just doing weird things here. 125100. 125100. That's 100. That's 125100. Back? Okay. This is yours. Look. It's all you. Okay? Awesome. All right. The pity. If you need wood, we might have a block or two in the back. 125-122. Yeah, there you go. All right, let me finish this. We'll have some more. Just wait till the end, I'll tell you. You know what's crazy about the tickets? Here's the crazy part. God died, Jesus Christ died, rose again, and he's got your number. He's got your ticket. He has your ticket. And he's calling it. And the reality is, are you going to respond when he calls your number? Are you responding when he calls your number? Saying, I need you. I want you to have a better life. I want you to be a part of me. Are you going to respond when he calls your number? That's the biggest thing of it all. Jesus Christ, he rose, he died, and he lives. It's amazing. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Paul says God's standards and values are vastly different from those who accepted by the world. God is now in the process of exposing and overthrowing the world's false standards in wisdom. In doing so, he does not need the wisest or the most influential people to serve his purpose. He just needs a remnant of people to do it. That's it. The everyday, the whosoever's people that would humble themselves and say, I accept you, God. I accept all of you. It's amazing because the scripture before that says, in verse 18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolish to those who do not understand or know him. Because when you accept Christ, you don't perish. You have everlasting life. So if you are perishing, what is being said right now is kind of foolish. It's amazing what God does. The message of the cross. In Philippians, it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For my life to live, I need Christ. And when I die, I gain. I spend eternity with him. That's the message of the cross. True life is only found in Christ Jesus. Nothing else. It's only in him. The message of the cross. The foolish things. God is taking the foolish things of the world and blowing the minds of the wise. He's taking the foolish things of the world. Jesus Christ, hear me as we get ready to close this. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he rose. And he lives. He's the biggest joker of them all. April Fool's, devil, you lose. April Fool's, you lose. April Fool's, you thought you had me dead, but I'm alive. You thought you were going to celebrate, but I live. April Fool's, the biggest April Fool's joke of history is when they thought Jesus died. He's alive and well. He's alive and well. And what is the biggest April Fool's you're going to pull today? Let me tell you what it could be. Where you say yes to Jesus. And when your friends and the people and the family around you want you to do the stuff you used to do. April Fool's, I don't do it anymore. April Fool's, I'm not drinking that anymore. April Fool's, I'm not lusting after that anymore. April Fool's, I'm not telling those dirty jokes anymore. What's the April Fool's you're going to leave with today when you make a life change and you say, I'm not living like that and everybody else is used to the way I was doing it? And I don't have to struggle like that anymore. I don't have to pick that up anymore. I don't have to be depressed and anxiety. I don't have to hold on to that anymore. April Fool's on you. Well, no, that's just the way. Oh, he'll do it. She'll do it. Oh, that's just the way they are because they're used to the way you are. April Fool's, I'm not that way anymore. Joke's on you. What happened? Jesus. What do you mean? Jesus. That's it. He changed my life. I've been struggling. I accepted him. So April Fool's. Well, why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you going to that party? Why aren't you living? Why aren't you responding to that? Because, you know, that should make you upset. April Fool's. I don't respond to that anymore. My source is found in Christ. He's the anchor of my soul. April Fool's. April Fool's. Jesus dies. Satan celebrates. Jesus gets up and says, April Fool's. I'm alive and well. April Fool's. April Fool's. The joke's on you, devil. God's got your ticket. God's got your ticket. And the biggest April Fool's you can pull today is when you leave this place changed and the people around you won't know what to do with you because you're not going to act the way you used to act. You're making the changes necessary now. Well, you don't know what I've been through. That's okay. Listen, some of you in this room have made a statement before. It says, if I ever go to church, the roof's going to build. It's going to set on fire. Anybody ever had that statement made? I mean, it's going to burn down. Let the mother burn. We got fire extinguishers. It's all good. He wants you in the fire. That's where he can form you and shape you and put you into something great. April Fool's, devil, you lose again. Isn't it funny that it is April Fool's? Can I tell a joke? Never mind. No. So a couple years ago, I was on Facebook. That's where I live because I have no life. Just kidding. So I put this post. I'm so in love with my wife, which is true. And I can't believe it that 9 months from now she's going to be having a baby. And I'm so excited that we're going to have our fifth child. It's amazing. But I didn't tell my wife I wrote that. And everybody kept congratulating her, and it was April Fool's. So if you're married, don't try that. It don't work well when you sleep on the couch for a couple days. Baby, I love you. Couch. Whatever. You sleep with your body pillow anyway. April Fool's. So yeah, be careful on your April Fool's. But the greatest one is when God decides to bring his son back and says, listen, he ain't dead. He's alive. I'm here for a reason. Doing something for a reason. So the April Fool's is on him. Salvation is the greatest gift you can receive. A life of God is the greatest thing you can receive. So now what? What's next? What's the end result here as we close this whole thing down? What do we do? How do we do this? How do we live this life? So, 24, 1 through 8, in Luke, Jesus dies. They put him down in a tomb. Crazy thing is, it wasn't even his tomb. It was a borrowed tomb from some rich man. It's funny today that we have people going door to door to ask you if you want a grave plot. I don't know if I'm ready for all that. Why would Jesus even buy a plot when he wasn't going to be in it anyway? And so he was in a borrowed tomb. So they crucified him on Friday. They put him down, and then this man says he can go in mine. It's carved out into a garden. It's in a garden, carved out, never been used ever, and just sitting there. So they put him in it. And they were going to prepare some spices and different things for the tomb and for that area. But it was coming to be close to dark. And their tradition is Sabbath. So all of Saturday, they couldn't do anything. They had to rest. Imagine that moment where you want to break loose from Sabbath to go run to the tomb. And they stayed to honor the Sabbath, to honor the tradition. And then next thing you know, on the next day, the first day of the week, which is considered today, it says on the first day of the week, very early morning, a woman took spices that had been prepared and went to the tomb that she prepared on Saturday and just been resting. She went there to the tomb and found the stone rolled away. But when she entered, did not find the body of Jesus. Why? While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothed in gleaming light stood beside them. And in their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. I love that because Jesus already told him, listen, I told you I was going to rise in 3 days and rebuild the temple, and it was our temple. So they're like, why? He's alive. And let me say this to you as we close. You'll never find any life in the grave. I don't care what grave you go to, you're never going to find anything alive. You don't have to hold on to your past pains and problems and the things that are dead that bring you down, almost literally bring you 6 feet down. Christ will bring you to life and bring you up. Let go of the dead things and grab a hold of Christ. The reality of the cross is this. He died for your sins. That's the whole purpose. It wasn't that he died so that, oh, wow, he's alive. It says that he took on the sins of the world. So whatever you're struggling with personally, privately, he died for it already. And if he died for that, that's good. If he died for that, then why do you continue to carry around dead weight? If he died for your sins, why do you keep on lingering in the grave of dead when you can live life with Christ? Well, I'm struggling with this. Why do you hold on to the struggle that isn't yours to hold? He took it on the cross. He died for everyone. But you see, some people don't want to realize that he died. He died for every person. He died for the one that murdered. He died for the abuser. He died for everybody, anybody and everybody. All of human race. He died for everyone. But if he died and took your sins and your sorrows and your shame, why do you continue to hold it and carry it and drag it around the grave? You don't have to anymore. And that's why he says this. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Listen, get out of the grave. God has a life for you. It's more exciting than anything else. That's why I'm so passionate about him. Because honestly, most of us in this room shouldn't be in this room. Either in jail, dead, broke, busted, disgusted, whatever. But we found Christ. And all we can do is live for him daily. Daily. We don't have to go through routines to see how much I can show my love. Hey, there's the light. Hey, do you see me? I love you. He said before he even knew you, he formed you. And he said even in your dead sin that he loved you. He already loved you in the mess you're in. He loves you. He loves you. He'll bring it to life. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. At the beginning, I said what this is all about. The cross equals love. The other side of it, it's about us. This is about you. This is about me. This is about us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I'm going to say a prayer. And I just want to, just as of respect and to each other, just hear me out on this. Resurrection happens today. Christ died and lived so you today could have life to the fullest. No more looking in the past at dead things. He enters this Easter. He's the Lord of all. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And let him be Lord of all in your life. He wants all of you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if that's you in this room that says, you know what, I want to start a relationship with Jesus. I want him to come into my heart. I don't want to live like this anymore. Those pains and sorrows and stuff, I want, you guys are just real people that going through life, and I want to live life different. I choose Christ. I want you in the count of three to, you know, to raise your hand and accept who Christ is and start this resurrected life on Resurrection Sunday, because the resurrected life of Jesus applies to you because he wants to live in you, which means he wants to resurrect you. And that's the whole goal. So on the count of three, if anybody's in this room, I want heads and eyes all bowed, and I want you to just be respectful in this time, because this is an important decision to say, you know what? I want to change my life. I want to live different. I don't care if you've been a Christian in the past and you've slipped away, whatever. If you're saying, I want to be a Christian for the first time, I want Jesus in my life. I want that resurrection power. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to have the struggles of that. I want peace in my life, and it's only found through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to count to three. One, Jesus loves you. He died. He rose again so you can have life. Two, the Bible says now is the time of salvation. Don't wait another day. Three, lift your hands if that's you in this room to say, you know what? I want Jesus. It's okay. There's hands up all over this room. I'm going to wait. Keep your hand up. Keep your eyes closed. We're just going to be respectful. Anybody else want to open this window up? Thank you. 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 You can put your hands down. We're going to say a prayer together, and we're going to repeat after me. This is just the way to say that you accept Christ into your heart. And we're all going to do it together. It's not just going to be the ones that raise their hand. The whole house is going to do it. Repeat after me. Jesus, here am I. I need you. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. And today, I choose to follow you. By your grace, I am saved. By your power, I am set free. Thank you for your resurrected power that lives in me now. It's a new day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's celebrate together. Amen, 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 amen.